you know, when it comes to families, every family has its ups and downs. If you define one that never has ups and downs, I defy you to tell me that's a family. I mean, it just it goes with life. But when you have more downs, I guess, than ups, and when it's a constant, never-ending struggle and battle, you can have what's called, and you know, we use the term, all of us do at times, dysfunctional family. What does that really mean? And, you know, how do you try to overcome that? Can you overcome that? Or is it just something that once a family turns into dysfunctional, does it begin to unravel? And is that unraveling permanent? Let's visit this morning with our good friend, Dr. John B., Dr. John Braccio, PhD, Regional Psychological Services, East Lansing. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. After a nice, friendly chat with Elizabeth this morning to get me ready to talk to you, I'm ready to go. And one thing about dysfunctional families, they are very common. Often, we don't even see them in the public because people have a way of presenting themselves in a way that we really don't know that.
But Doc, how do you do? Can you define that for us? Because, like I say, every family has rough spots.
That's right.
And ups and downs, and you know, times where there'll be conflict. But is it never ending, or is it, how do you define it yourself?
Well, I define a dysfunctional family as a situation where there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of emotional abuse, there can be physical abuse, there can be sexual abuse, there can be isolation, there can be bullying, there can be controlling, there can be a lot of child neglect. It's a continuum, of course, that certain families can be dysfunctional to a small degree, but there are those that are really destructive, and we hear of these when we hear about child abuse.
Right.
When we hear about persons that have no sense of right or wrong, where they've been given no direction in their lives. And we see this in terms of people that are fearful and people that even defend inappropriate behavior and begin to see it as the norm. So we can go from generation to generation with situations where there's all these destructive interpersonal type problems. Because one thing you said is true. Every family, every human being, their conflicts, their issues that we have in life, that's part of the human condition.
Sure.
But when they become to a point where there is hatred, there is great fear, there is destructiveness to the person, when the person really develops a very poor self-esteem. There are people that we run into that we do in our lives, we do in our office a lot, and they can't take a compliment, or they're trying so hard to please, or they're trying so hard to be destructive and argumentative. These are results of homes that are dysfunctional. Now, what I think people have to do, they have to recognize their issues and have to be willing to make an attempt to try. The thing I find that makes dealing with dysfunctional families difficult is people have begun to see them as kind of a normal. And when things are even a little calmer, they begin to say, well, things are calm, are going to get better. And they really don't understand that being yelled at, that being physically abused or emotionally abused or bullied, taken advantage of, being isolated, just these are not positive things. These are very negative things and destructive. And people get used to them. And this is why we can have one abusive generation after another. So it is critical that those of us in the world that can help people, that can give good advice, that can do modeling, that we really try to do that. And we're talking about millions of families. You know, Dave, it's hard to believe how many dysfunctional families there really are. And I realize there are degrees
right.
of what we're dealing with. And I also believe, I kind of always liked Tolstoy's statement from Anna Karenina, one of his novels, like all happy families are, you know, alike, and each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think families that are happy, there's joy, there's working together as a team, they're doing things. Even if they're different, they seem alike. But when you get involved with the dysfunctional families, there's so many different types of negativity that can be going on in a home. We see it in the look of the eye, the lackluster in the eye. We see it in people that want to defend abusive parents. We see it in guarded people. We see it in rebels. We see it in all kinds of different ways, and people are just come out very different. It's very unfortunate. And I think that if – go ahead, Dave.
Do you see it as a – we talked before about the, you know, the breakdown in what was called the nuclear family.
Yes.
And at times you call the – you know, what you've termed, you know, kind of the ideal parenting setup in your mind as a psychologist. Is that tied to this too, or is that peripheral?
Well, I think that, you know, having a full nuclear mother, father, children, I think that is still the easiest, best way to go. I don't think most people disagree with that. When you start adding other members and other people and people coming in and out of relationships, you have more opportunity to have dysfunction. But there are many what we call the nuclear family that are really quite dysfunctional,
sure,
too, Dave. What I just find is the thing that interests me is when I work with children or even adults now, and I find out how dysfunctional those homes were, that the control, the negativity, the requirement for conformity, that we really find it hard to believe. And really, a lot of times you really can't see it because to the world, these are good people. In their own minds, many of them are good people. They're people that think by controlling, keeping everything in the right way in their mind, using fear, using control, that they're really doing the right thing. And in some cases, they can have very effective, from a societal point of view, in terms of jobs and education, people. But the people that come out of those environments are really quite negative. They can be quite destructive in the future, and they've already never learned how to have good interpersonal relationships because they've never seen a normal one, and the ones that they're in all have caveats or have, you know, particular
right.
ways of learning how to cope. So it's a very difficult way to go, and something that, in spite of it being so common, people really aren't always aware of it unless they kind of see it and experience it or somehow get to understand it from someone we know. But it's a very difficult problem.
Yeah, and I know you're not, and I know you're not saying, just so people don't get the wrong idea, I know you're not saying that, you know, a controlling, let's say you're a parent, that being too controlling is one thing, but lack of boundary and definition is bad the other way, too.
Well, I think that's true. It's kind of Aristotle's summum bonum. You know, it's kind of trying to get the golden mean. And there's nothing wrong with in terms of being direction, expectations. It's just when we kind of go to the extreme, when we make people conform. Like if someone is not, let's just say they've told something to us, we'll say a little lie or something, so they have to wear all day in the house, I'm a liar. Okay, so, I mean, people do things.
Yeah.
Or so there are things that we just have to realize that functional, effective people come from homes where there is structure, where there are expectations, mm-hmm. but where there's love, there's caring, there's the hugging, there's the we're a team, where family events go together, where there isn't fear. These are the things that families need rather than the structured, controlled, negative, emotionally devoid type of environment that is typical of the dysfunctional family. And I think if we think about it, we all know of situations like this. And one of the sad things that we see, and I've seen countless times and see right now, as you and I are speaking this week even, where somebody has never learned how to love, never learned how to be effective in a relationship, and they just go through one bad one or another, just not knowing how much to give, what not to give, who to trust, who not to trust. It becomes very, very difficult if we've never had the chance to have the modeling and live in a loving, caring kind of environment.
You learn some of that at home. What I always like about this, too, is not only we delve into human psychology, but I get a lesson in philosophy as well. You got Aristotle today and Tolstoy all rolled in. Well, it's not bad. Not bad on one segment. Our good friend here, drjohnb.com, is the website where the podcast will be very shortly, Regional Psychological Services. And next week, we're going to delve into, and you alluded to it there at the end, the functional family, the happy
yes.
side of this as well. There is a bright side to this, as there frequently is in the human condition. We'll get that next week, this time around, same time, next Tuesday. Doc, always good to talk to you. Have a wonderful day.
And remember this, anything is possible if we work at it and we try and the opportunity is made available. So yes, we can become effective even if we're in dysfunctional situations. We can do it.
I told you he's a philosopher, too. It's good stuff all the way around. Keep it here. This is 1320 WILS.